The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Don Soa. With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa.
Well, as much as everybody's trying to determine, well, what is it that's been driving this stock market higher all year long here in 2017? And it seemed to be the simplest reaction to it all has been, well, that's the Trump rally. That's the expectation that a Republican-controlled White House, Senate, and, you know, Congress, we're going to get a lot of pro-business, pro-growth-related strategies and rules and new ideas and everything all put into place. It'll be a extremely pro market type of year in 2017, maybe into 18 as well. The old phrase was used to be the market people buy in the rumor and sell in the news. A better, more easily understood phrase that we've been using here on Money Talk has been the market individuals buy on speculation and sell on reality. I think that most people understand that a little better. Speculation meaning what they think can and might and perhaps will happen. With Hillary Clinton running as the Democratic nominee, people spent a lot of time and effort trying to extrapolate, well, what would a Clinton administration look like? What would a Clinton government situation look like, especially given that the House and Senate would likely or very likely be in the control of the Republicans? That might have been a nightmare, I mean, for a number of different, bottleneck reasons, right? And that's not even trying to be judgmental about what Hillary Clinton's policies might be. Just the very idea that a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate would not be highly inclined to be embracing the policies of Hillary Clinton and her people coming in, especially if they followed the template that she had been professing during the course of her campaign when she ran for both the Democratic nomination and then subsequently in the primary in the main election. You get a feel for what people believe in. You get a feel for what they would embrace. You get a feel for the direction she would want to take the country as the new president. But if she's trying to do that in an atmosphere where the legislature, the House and the Senate, was going to be highly uncooperative, I think, to say the least. And that's just for political reasons. Even if they, not so much that they completely disagreed with everything Hillary Clinton would be representing, and they may very well. And I'm sure there are some people within the legislature, the House and Senate, who would argue that. They'd say, no, I believe in absolutely nothing she believes in. But there'd be others, too, who might not be quite so rigorous in their thought process or their beliefs, but would say, well, we want her to fail. We want her to be a four-year president. And then, of course, with that failure, we can, blame most of the lack of momentum, lack of movement within the economy and within the country and within healthcare and everything else. We can all blame it on her. And of course, then hopefully win the presidency the next time around. But when much to everyone's surprise, when Donald Trump won, there was this expectation again, rightly or wrongly, but there was an expectation that he would be embracing, like a great many individuals within the House and Senate, that he would be embracing growth-oriented policies, business-friendly policies, anti-regulation-related policies, policies that would likely bring major reforms to the tax code, some of which are probably quite necessary and some of which maybe not. You go through that whole basic premise. I think that with all that happening, I mean, a lot of voters, there are a lot of people voted for Donald Trump simply because they believed that he would bring that kind of government into play, that the House and Senate could put forward new rules, new regulations, and a whole bunch of new bills designed to reduce financial regulations, to reduce a number of regulations in the business sector. There are a great many people in business and large business organizations who have stated over the years that literally they actually spend more money on regulation, on dealing with regulations, whether it's the lawyers or everything else or the restrictions that are placed upon them, things they're forced to do because of the regulatory regime, and that those costs are greater and more damaging financially to them than taxes are. And, of course, there's the issue of taxes as well. But either way, it's speculating that this is going to be a good thing for the market, that this new government, House, Senate, and White House, Republican-oriented legislature and executive branch, would be good for the markets in general. So that's probably a strong enough set of reasons for people to keep their money in what we call the risk-on trade, risk-on being the stock market. Now, again, measuring risk, the risk profile of the market, stocks versus bonds versus commodities versus real estate, you know, you name it. There's a whole different set of dynamics there. But ultimately, in the end, if you believe you're moving into an environment, maybe especially if it hasn't even happened yet, but it's coming, and you feel there's a pretty strong likelihood that it's coming, that you're going to be in a pro-business, pro-growth-oriented, anti-regulatory environment, then, yeah, you may want to commit yourself to some rather impressive positions within your investment portfolio on the equity side, the stock market side, on the risk-on side. So you might be a little less in bonds at a time when interest rates, tech yields are starting to rise a bit. And as those yields rise, the value of the underlying bonds will come down. The expectation that the bond market won't offer the kind of returns it has over the last 30 years on average, which is probably a fair statement. It doesn't mean you can't make money in it. It just means it's not going to be as easy or as simple or as basic in the bond market. It'll still be part of a well-designed portfolio, but maybe not as big a position. We'll see. But the stock market, which also has a large piece of dividend-paying assets, you know, remember about 1.8% dividend yield in the S&P 500. That's pretty impressive. It's impressive when a U.S. 10-year Treasury is paying barely 2.1%, 2.2%, right? So, you know, in that particular dynamic, you say, you know, I can probably get the benefit of growth potential by owning the largest stocks in the market, the S&P 500, and also get a nice dividend, almost 2% dividend here. Very similar to a 10-year Treasury bond. This may not, so owning the stocks there, owning the big blue chip, big companies may not be such a bad idea. Again, you're speculating. You're speculating up front. You believe in buy low, sell high. Here's the buy low opportunity. Get in before the market figures this out, folks, right? Get it all. So that was the essence. That was the foundation of the Trump rally, right? We got it. Actually, it started right after the elections back in November. It didn't have to wait. You didn't have to wait till the inauguration in January. It was on because we're gambling with our hard-earned money, but we're gambling with our dollars on what can be, on what the future might be. Speculating. And that's what it is. And yes, you're taking risk, but we accept risks as investors, right? Because the rewards may justify it. So I always like to make sure that we're measuring how much risk we're taking and are we being paid enough for it. Dividends help with that, yeah. Well, anyway, what about today? What's happening now? What's happening in the last week or so? Stocks, well, we're pretty low today, traded sharply lower. And why? Well, now, for all of the positivity of early on periods, the speculating about a Trump gains, Trump rally, now the president's recent controversies are becoming a problem, and they will not really allow him to work with Congress very well to pass a large number of the business-friendly legislation. So yeah, the market, again, is speculating, but on the other side, that maybe things won't turn out as well as they would like, and now here we are stuck with all these stocks. So maybe we should trim some of those positions, right? Well, that's what the market does from time to time. We call it consolidation. I'm Don. So we'll talk some more about this. We'll tell you a little bit about what happened in the market here as we come close to the end of this week. And we'll chat about things that matter to you as you try to make important financial decisions as the year gets closer and closer to the end. This is Money Talk. I'll be right back.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can even prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com.
Hey folks, Travis here from Bruno & Co. Auctioneers. Comic books are hotter than ever before, and now they can be worth thousands of dollars for single issues. We buy and consign comic books from the community every day. If you have comic books in the attic or basement, call me, Travis, directly at 533-9980 to schedule a free in-home evaluation or bring your comic books to the auction gallery at 63 4th Ave in Cranston. And be sure to check us out on the web at BrunoandCo.com.
That's BRUNEAU.
This is Alan Albigari with Automated Business Solutions. Do you and your team spend hours and hours sorting through documents and then later digging through those piles and files? Our team can give you real solutions that will stop this wasted time and wasted effort. We help businesses throughout Southern New England with print and technology solutions that work. Visit us online at absne.com. Let us show you what we can do for your business.
Automated Business Solutions.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808, keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-588-0769. 800-588-0769. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-588-0769.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Crash on 195 westbound, slowing you down. That's just ahead of the Washington Bridge. 195 east and 95 south. We've got a crash right there at the ramps causing backups on 95 south, 146 and 6 right now. 4 northbound, still heavy coming up from 102 because of an earlier crash by 401. If you're on 95 northbound, you're busy as you come through town. A little bit better as you get by the vets. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
This is Money Talk with Don Soa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Well, folks, as we were discussing in the first part of the show, as I said, people speculate and they vote with their money when they speculate. They're saying, you know, we think there's a great opportunity here. How does the average individual out there in the real world who's not, who may have, a great many of whom have never even been in Washington, D.C., for that matter, most of our exposure to that may be in the movies or on television. Obviously, there's a lot of news now. It seems like it doesn't matter whether the nightly news, whatever's going on, no matter what's going on, there's always some story coming out of Washington right now. I think that, if anything, this president and his administration are filled with surprises.
Interestingly enough, it's the uncertainties that come with controversy. The market itself, admittedly, does not like controversy. It's funny because investors in the market, they don't mind guessing. They don't mind gambling a little bit. They don't mind sticking the hard-earned dollars out there, going for it. They don't mind speculating, It's interesting. Yet at the same time, they don't like controversy. They don't like things that they really want to depend upon some of the information that they're getting, some of the opinions that they're hearing. What's coming out of Washington now, out of this White House especially, is a little nerve-wracking. It's a little nerve-wracking. No matter what side you're on here, whether you're a pro-Trump individual or an anti-Trump individual, or if you're somewhere in the middle, no matter how you feel politically, what you're seeing happening around you, no matter who you blame for it, it's nerve-wracking. So, that said, the markets respond and people vote with their money on both sides when they're feeling very positive and they think there's an opportunity and they want to get in early on. So, yeah, you speculate and you buy in. And that's happened literally since last November 2016 after the elections. All the speculation about what a new Trump administration and a Republican-controlled House and Senate, what would that mean? What would it mean to us as investors? What would it mean to us? What would it mean to the overall economy? There are people who believed, rightly or wrongly, and they're learning now, of course. They're learning what it means to be, Donald Trump's a businessman, so he'll understand the business side of things, and he'll negotiate like a businessman as opposed to being a politician. I think what he's learning, whether he wants to admit it or not, certainly his people are learning this, that the politician side in Washington is the side that knows how things work. To be a successful businessman within whatever business you're in, whether it's Trump's real estate development world or any business you're in, computers, service, restaurants, you have to understand your business. You have to understand how it works. You have to understand your potential customers. You got to know where the demand is going to be. You got to understand the psychology of the people that you're going to try to serve in your business. Now, whether that worked well for the Donald as a real estate developer, and of course there's some arguments, good or bad there, but coming in and selling himself on the idea, or selling the public on the idea, that we were better off with somebody who was not a politician, I'm not saying no understanding business is not a good thing. I think it probably is. But understanding politics, understanding how Washington works, understanding something, an odd word that I really don't think is in the president's vocabulary, at least. Or at least he doesn't want us to think so. And that's the word compromise. Very important part of negotiating is compromising. Understand that you're not going to get everything you want. The real measure of your position will be, what are you willing to give up in order to get what you need? There's certain things that this nation needs right now. There's certain things that our allies require and need from us. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to spend? What are we willing to sacrifice in order to enjoy the bigger picture, the long-term picture? As I try to observe what's happening in Washington and the White House, I'm not seeing a lot of that. I hope I'm wrong. Today, the market decided that being overly optimistic about what's happening there may be a little short-sighted. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's short-sighted in the short term. Dow was down 274 points. Why? Well, probably the most business-friendly advisor to the president in Washington, D.C., somebody that we know he respects, is a guy named Gary Cohn. Gary Cohn's last name is spelled C-O-H-N. Is it? No. Here's the big issue. Gary Cohn is Jewish. As, by the way, is Mnuchin, his Secretary of the Treasury. But he is a major advisor to the president. And after some of the rhetoric that they've heard from their president the last couple of days related to what was going on down there in Virginia, he might resign. He might resign his role as the director of the National Economic Council because of the president's remarks after the violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm not really sure whether that's an informed opinion about whether he would do that, whether he'd resign or not. I think people that know him have indicated that he was offended by some of those remarks. He was offended certainly by what he witnessed going on down there in Virginia, in Charlottesville. And he was probably not overly delighted by the comments that the president made. But again, the question would be, in Gary Cohn's own self-interest, is he offended enough by the president to resign that position? That was a debate about whether it's warranted, whether the spokespeople, the people with opinions, had inside track on this or not. It doesn't really matter. It was the speculating about a key, very, very important financial advisor, economic advisor to the president. Can this presidency and its future momentum, if there's any, can it survive without people like, you know, Mnuchin and Cohn? The S&P 500 shed about 1.5% today, while the NASDAQ dropped about 2%. This situation is definitely disappointing for investors holding out hope. They're holding out hope for things, major things that are not easy, folks. These things are complicated. They're hard work. Tax reform is hard work. People who are around today still who were in the Reagan administration, we had the last major tax reform. They will tell you for the Reagan administration that it was very, very hard work. And it's not going to be easy to this, no matter what anybody says, it's not going to be easy in 2017. Managing director over at U.S. Bank Private Client Group is a guy named Mike Bale, B-A-E-L-E. He says that it doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but it certainly dampens the outlook for not so much would it happen, but when it might happen, or maybe even what tax reform will look like. What could it look like if some of the key players, some of the key advisory people, if the smartest people in the room leave the room, what's left? That's the concern. That's what the market's thinking. Now, that may be an overly pessimistic view. Unjustified, maybe. We'll see. But in the end, the White House press office issued a statement afterwards, shortly afterwards, when the discussion of Gary Cohn possibly leaving the administration, the White House itself, Cohn has said nothing, but the White House has said that nothing has changed. Gary is focused on his responsibilities as NEC director. And any reports to the contrary are 100% false. I'm sure that the White House people called it fake news. In an interview with CNBC's Squawk Box, Yale management expert Jeffrey Sonnenfeld said that Cohn's resignation would be, well, I'm sure he described it a lot of different ways. It would be a nightmare. He said it would be very, very bad for the markets. The markets would respond very badly. It would shake the faith of people who make big decisions about big money. Now, in company news, shares of Walmart dropped about 2%, despite the company posting better-than-expected quarterly results. Chuck Grom, who's an analyst at Gordon Haskett, told CNBC earlier Thursday that this isn't a blow-away report. It's a solid report. Adding, he said that he doesn't think this number needed to be a little bit better. You know, today to drive stock prices higher. I don't disagree with that. I think that the number was, however, good enough to justify the current price that Walmart's trading at. And that's ultimately what the markets try to do. The market tries over time, over a quarter, to assign a value to the shares of a company based upon expectations for that company's growth, expectation of it meeting or beating expectations. That's exactly what Walmart did. For to have it drop 2% because somebody says, well, maybe it could have been better. It didn't have to be better. It was considerably better than what was expected. It just wasn't maybe some outrageous blowout report. I don't know. Sometimes it gets a little bit ridiculous. Now, L Brands, another major retail company, also reported results that topped expectations. They've been doing that for a while, by the way. But the company did lower its 2017 earnings per share guidance, sending the stock down more than 7%. So once again, a company that consistently beats expectations of analysts and the markets, and they decided, well, maybe the guidance we were giving for the whole year may be a little bit lower, even though it was pretty substantial guidance. And that was enough to actually
If it dropped to 0.5% or 1%, I could buy that. But 7%, I don't know. By the way, if anybody has never heard of L Brands, they're probably their mainline brand is called Victoria's Secrets. Overall, calendar second quarter earnings have been they've been a bit of a mixed bag. The retail sector hasn't been a great sector for the market. Nordstrom's, for example, posted better than expected earnings and sales, sending their stock higher. But in the meantime, earnings and sales from Macy's did top expectations, but investors sent the stock lower after the results came out. Go figure. Now, why one and not the other? Hard to say. Hey, folks, this is Don Sohey. You're listening to AM 790, your home of talk and business. This is Money Talk. I'll be right back.
Too hot, too cold, too dry, too dusty, or too damp? Sound like your home or business? Call Continental Heating and Cooling, your indoor air quality specialists. Rhode Island's only Lennox Premier dealer and one of the oldest, most respected heating and air conditioning companies. They'll make sure your indoor air quality is the best it can be. Call 233-COOL today to schedule a free evaluation for your home or business. No obligation. Interest-free financing and rebates available. ContinentalENG.com.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Providence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Providence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Providence is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-570-6500. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-570-6500. That's 1-800-570-6500.
If you know the value of good machines, then it's high time we got together. We're Bailey Industrial, builders of metal and woodworking equipment, hardworking machines for hardworking people. We stand behind our equipment and make sure our equipment stands behind you, offering you the after-sale support you need to keep your shop running smoothly, which means making sure you have what you need when you need it, typically shipping within 72 hours or less. So whether you're a fabricator or manufacturer of metal or wood products, go to Bailey.com or call 920-MACHINE and we'll send you a catalog. That's right, friend, over 400 pages of what you love most, machines. So whatever you're looking to build or manufacture, do it with Bailey Industrial, the company you can trust to give you the equipment and service you can rely on. That's B-A-I-L-E-I-G-H, Bailey, because if it's worth doing right, it's only right to do it with Bailey. So call 920-MACHINE or go to Bailey.com now and pick up your free catalog.
This is Money Talk with Don Sohey, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we're back with the Money Talk program. You know, folks, I mentioned in the first half of the show that the numbers for the market in general, they've pretty much met or beat estimates for both top-line and bottom-line growth for most market participant companies. The retail sector has been a little weak. It's been spotty. There have been some stories that have been really good, some not. The kind of concern, I guess, some people have had about retail has, in fact, spilled over kind of not just in certain key big company areas like with Macy's and others, but it's been really across the sector in general, the whole retail sector. It makes people wonder about the health of the U.S. consumer. If the stores that provide most of the products you know, are simply not doing very well. If they're struggling, that means consumers, I mean, in order for them to struggle, it means consumers have got to be not buying their stuff, not using their services, not buying their products. Now, Wall Street also contended with the fallout from, you know, the president's dissolving two advisory forums comprised of top U.S. CEOs. And it's not so much that he did it, not so much who they were, but, you know, what does it say? Does it mean these key people who are major decision makers for companies that literally are responsible for with values of half a trillion dollars or more? The disbanding came as sort of a backlash, as we noted earlier, from against Trump, you know, grew following remarks that he has made dealing after the violent protests in Charlottesville. Equity gains were kept in check as a result of all this. It's not because people know something. It's they're speculating again. It's about what they don't know. It's the uncertainty that comes with what they might identify as unhelpful rhetoric from the White House. And when they see the smartest people in the room, the people who are the CEOs that were in these presidential advisory forums, I mean, whether they were going to get anything done or not in those forums, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure how valuable they really were for industry or business in general. There were some people that actually argued that the only person that benefited from the forums was the president himself, that he it was made for great photo opportunities, claiming that, you know, that these are the people that advise me, you know, so I have my finger on the pulse of the U.S. economy. But, you know, the problem is ultimately they hardly met at all. And again, most of it was simply photo ops. Equity gains were kept in check, however, because of this uncertainty, with major indices closing marginally higher overall during this period of time. We've had a lot of things happen recently. So if people want to actually sell their, you know, some people have made an awful lot of money over the last 8 to 10 months, last 12 months. And they may they haven't sold up to this point because they were afraid. It's an interesting phrase. They were afraid to not be in the market. They were afraid of not participating if the market continued to move higher. They'd feel foolish. They'd say, "Oh, you know, lesser informed individuals were the ones they said the less smart people in the room were making all the money, and why am I not? I pulled out of the market already. Was I overly aggressive in my?" Not upside move, but downside move. But regardless of what they do, everybody sells for a reason. I think the best reason for anyone to sell is because you need the money. If by chance you need the money, but maybe you don't need it tomorrow. But if you know you need the money in short term, and that would be anything with the next 6 to 12 months. If you know you're going to need the money in the next 6 to 12 months, you are a short-term investor if that's the case. And if you're a short-term investor and you've made a lot of money in the last 12 months, it's time to take some of that money off the table. Now, you don't have to pull out completely. And yes, you don't want to be that foolish person who watches the market rise while you're sitting in cash. I get it. But how about you take out what you've earned? Let's say you're one of those bright, beautiful folks who doubled your money in this most recent period of time. So you went in and you bought, say you bought Apple last year at about $80, $85 a share. And here we are today, Apple, about $160. So you doubled your money. How about taking that part that you earned? You bought 1,000 shares for $80,000, and now your 1,000 shares are worth $160,000. Why not take that $80,000 profit? You've owned it for over a year. Take it off the table. Pay capital long-term capital gains taxes, which is between state and federal. For most people, that would be right around 18 to 20%. Not bad. Of that $80,000, you're going to keep $64,000, $65,000 of it, even after taxes. Yeah, if you know you're going to need some of that money in the next 12 months, this would be a smart thing to do. By the way, I'm not saying that because I know something, because I've got my crystal ball going over here. No, I'm telling you based upon what I don't know. And you should make decisions about money oftentimes based on what you do not know, not so much what you think you know. This program is here to share, well, some experience and wisdom sometimes. Wisdom is driven. It's the product of experience. It's not something you get on the computer. It's not something you get on some algorithmic model that you might have. It's 35 years in my profession, 26 of it. We've been sharing, hopefully, our knowledge and wisdom with you here on the radio, on the Money Talk program. We're not going to be wrong. We're not going to be right every time, but you know something? We're not wrong all the time. Matter of fact, I hope, and I think history will bear out, that we've been right more often than not. We want you to share in that, at least in areas where we have some experience and expertise. I have to be very careful, you know, and I'm critical of people, and people ask me about other people they hear on the radio or the television or even on the computer. They get these newsletters and everything, and they say, well, what do you think about this advice or that advice? I said, you know, there are some people that do a great job in a focused area. But a lot of them have a core competency, something they're very, very good at, and they spoil it by delving out into areas where they don't have core competencies. That's not their area of expertise. You got to be careful with that. We're very careful. Donna Allen, my daughter, Steve Bovee, my colleague, myself, we try very hard not to pretend that we know everything. I'm not a CPA. We give out investment tax ideas, but most of them are fairly basic ideas, and they're the things that are shared with us by the experts. And when we want to do a show that focuses on tax policy, tax strategy, guess what we'll do? We'll bring on a CPA or a tax attorney who has specialty expertise in those areas. Estate planning. I'm not a lawyer. I deliberately chose not to be. But I know some really, really good ones. We work with them every day. We work with them all the time. That's the whole point. You should have a team of advisors if you're, depending upon your circumstance. I think that this financial planning professional, and Stephen and I and Donna Grace agrees, Donna Allen, that we are sort of the general practitioners in your world. That's the GP as a doctor. Most people aren't going to have the doctor who's a general practitioner do your actual brain surgery. No, you bring in the neurologist for that, the neurosurgeon. But maybe it's the GP who finds the problem, identifies the symptoms, and puts in place a circumstance where testing will be done and that tumor is found, if that's the reality for you. I'm just trying to use analogies that people do understand. I think, as with all things, you know, buying and selling are not something that you know. They're oftentimes something you feel. They're based up more less on your knowledge and more on your feelings. And some of it is wisdom. Some of it is instinct. Some of it is, hey, how do you feel about that today? We've also, in addition to the recent volatility based on political, you know, bouncing around, political issues, we've also had a couple of really strong days. So it's no surprise to see the profit-taking that does take place. It's okay. And don't feel that you're foolish by taking some money off the table. In economic news, weekly jobless claims fell. Seasonally adjusted 232,000, roughly, from 244,000. In the meantime, U.S. factory output slipped in July as auto production fell off a bit. Is it the time of year? Yeah, maybe. In currency world, the euro fell off from a near 2.5-year high against the dollar after a summary from the European Central Bank, the ECB, on July the 20th's meeting showed that officials were concerned about an overshooting in the currency, going over the top. Well, there's all these things that we look at all day long, gather a lot of information in a lot of different categories. A lot of it may give you that big, gigantic, broad picture of what the economy looks like, what our nation looks like, what our choices look like. And only part of that in the world of choices deals with your money. Only part of that says, should I invest it differently? If you've got an adequate amount of money put away in cash, cash equivalents, your emergency fund or opportunity fund, and you are consistently putting money away in a qualified tax favorable program for your retirement money machine, then it's okay to take a little risk once in a while, but to understand what kind of rewards you can get for the level of risk you're taking. I'm Don Sowey. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 790, your home of talk and business here in Southern New England. I'll be right back.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Well, pretty busy still on 4 northbound coming up from an earlier crash near 401. It's still caused some residual heaviness and a lot of extra travel coming up off the beach right now, making for a slow go as you try to get up to 95 north. 95 north itself still slow through Thurber's, curving up into downtown. 95 southbound, that's where you have to watch out. A crash by 195, really making for heavy going for you. Also a crash at the ramps near Smithfield Ave. That's going to cause you some backup. So you're slow from Pawtucket all the way down to 195. That affects you coming in on 6 and 146. Also, a crash on 195 westbound, causing you headaches there as you come in from Seekonk. I'm Rich Teeter with your Right Now traffic.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can even prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com.
Hello, this is Steve Silver, General Manager of Courtesy Hyundai. At Courtesy Hyundai, the rollout closeout event is here. We're rolling out the 2018s and closing out and mock down every brand new 2017. We'll take up to $8,000 off MSRP on all remaining 2017s. $6,000 off 2017 Tucson's. $8,000 off 2017 Santa Fe Sports. Find 2017 Hyundai Elantras from just $79 a month. Drive the best Sonata ever, a totally redesigned 2018 Sonata from just $149 a month. New Hyundais come back with Hyundai Assurance, America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. And only courtesy Hyundai will double it to 20 years or 200,000 miles. And if your trade-in doesn't shine, you'll be just fine. Courtesy Hyundai will give you more for your trade than anyone. Located at 939 Newport Avenue, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, exit 2A off 95. Or visit us online 24-7 at drivecourtesy.com. And always remember our founder John's belief.
If you bought anywhere else, you pay too much.
If you know the value of good machines, then it's high time we got together. We're Bailey Industrial, builders of metal and woodworking equipment, hardworking machines for hardworking people. We stand behind our equipment and make sure our equipment stands behind you, offering you the after-sale support you need to keep your shop running smoothly, which means making sure you have what you need when you need it, typically shipping within 72 hours or less. So whether you're a fabricator or manufacturer of metal or wood products, go to Bailey.com or call 920-MACHINE and we'll send you a catalog. That's right, friend, over 400 pages of what you love most, machines. So whatever you're looking to build or manufacture, do it with Bailey Industrial, the company you can trust to give you the equipment and service you can rely on. That's B-A-I-L-E-I-G-H. Bailey, because if it's worth doing right, it's only right to do it with Bailey. So call 920-MACHINE or go to Bailey.com now and pick up your free catalog.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we are back with the Money Talk program, everybody. Well, we got enough of the ups and the downs and the politics and everything and all the speculating and how things, whether you should take some profits or not. I mean, ideally, you have to still be thinking in terms of long-term investing. If you're a long-term investor, if you've got years to go before you're going to need this money, then you need to be following the plan that you spent time and effort and wisdom designing, maybe with the help of an advisor if you're working with one. Or on your own, if you tried to use your own wisdom and experience to create your own plan. Either way, it doesn't hurt to talk to people and find out what others are doing. But I do think that the big issue will be your timing. If you need the money in the very short term, then some of the things I've said tonight on tonight's Money Talk program do matter. You should probably, I'm not suggesting anybody should get out of the market at this point. I'm not looking for a major correction in this market. I would probably be surprised if there wasn't some sort of a pullback in the market in the third quarter, meaning a 2, 3, 4% decline in the value of the market at some point, some profit taking place. It's perfectly fine. But remember, the strength of the market is typically the November-December timeframe. So again, you get out of the market now with thinking, well, I'll get back in next year. That would probably be a big mistake. My guess is we're still going to see performance this year in 2017 as a bit of an anomaly. Now, the big question is, despite where we are right now with everything that we have seen, will stocks continue to rally for the remainder of the year? As with many things, the late baseball genius Yogi Berra summed it up well. He said it's tough to make predictions, especially about the future.
God bless them, huh? Anyone who has tried to forecast the stock market knows that investing is no exception. It often makes fools of otherwise really smart people. However, we know that stocks face some headwinds right now. We've had a very long run. The last recession was 07, 08. We're coming in on the 10-year time frame. So a continuation of gains at the level we've seen through July, I'm not saying that you won't make more money, but this pace is unrealistic. Expect shares to maybe tread water or maybe pull back a little bit. I am kind of expecting one. I don't have a crystal ball on this, but there's some wisdom in that, I believe. So a market may trade within a range for a short while. The S&P 500 index gains 9%, excluding dividends, since January the 1st. That's a pretty big number. The S&P 500 sticker, the ticker symbol is SPY. That's an exchange-traded fund, which tracks the same index, the S&P 500, and it performed similarly. Now, granted, the ETF does have, even though very low, it does have some expenses. So what is stopping stocks reaching higher levels in the minds of some people who are, and there are some people who are concerned about the market. So you have to pay attention to everyone, not only the bulls, but the bears as well. Valuations are high. The most important thing is that stocks are, and will probably continue to be, at record highs. The cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio, PE ratio, which is a measure of really how much investors are willing to pay for stocks, is now at levels not seen since before the crash of 1929 or before the tech bubble around the year 2000, according to one website in particular. But both periods were followed, of course, by market drops. Now, the PE levels of the market after March of 2000 were 3 and 4 times what they are right now. So let's put it in proper context. PEs are higher than they've been. They're higher than the average, but they're not necessarily in stratospheric category here. Earnings and taxes, well, earnings comparisons will be harder to beat in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, we've seen some pretty solid numbers. Investors are focused on whether the last financial results are really better than the same period a year ago or a year before. Companies had a helping hand in the first half because the same period in 2016 was hit by a plunge in commodity prices. Sometimes comparisons alone, you have to look carefully as to why they occurred. Hence, the earnings comparisons were easier to beat than they likely will be in the second half of this year. So comparisons are tougher, but they may still be good. Investors got excited earlier this year on the prospect of a U.S. tax reform program coming out of Washington. It hasn't happened yet, of course, and some analysts see nothing solid happening until early 2018, probably, on the tax front. Both parties need to collaborate to truly reform the rules, but based upon history, that may be getting tougher and tougher. The Federal Reserve is expected to start winding down its enormous bond-buying program in September. It bought the bonds to keep the cost of borrowing low and to help spur economic growth. And it worked. It worked. It's been a grinding growth, but it's worked. Analysts have suggested that the unwinding, of course, could mean that the interest rates will rise, and that could hurt the stock market a little bit, too. We're not really looking at meaningful inflation, though, not even monetary inflation at this point. Now, not everyone is pessimistic. We know that the Fed is sensitive, of course, to market sentiment, and they don't want to take actions that will jeopardize the support that they have actually been giving to the economy. They would rather not tighten up monetary policy at the wrong moment. Expect the market to move sideways, maybe a little downside movement here and there, but not necessarily evenly. That means that some stocks could actually fall quite a bit, while others do little or even go up. Now, so stock picking may matter. Lately, U.S. GDP growth has been less than robust, limping around 2% a year at that level in real and inflation-adjusted terms. According to government data, the first estimate of second-quarter GDP growth was around 2.6%. Now, that's up from 1.2% of the prior month. Both are considered weak readings, though. If you happily invested in stocks at a level where the swings up and down don't really worry you, then you need not worry here either. You need not do anything. As stock market pros often remind us, Investing works best over long stretches of time, like I said just a short while ago. But if you think your portfolio is too heavily weighted to bonds and cash, this may be a good time to rebalance your assets. You can put a larger percentage of your portfolio in the equity side, if that's who you are. One of the best ways to do this is what we call dollar cost averaging. Decide how much you actually want to reallocate and divide it into, say, four chunks over a four-month period. Hedging your trades in this way means that you won't get the best price possible for your investments, but you won't get the worst price possible either. Dollar cost averaging, believe it or not, does work. And if you have such a big allocation in stocks that a drop in the market would make you lose sleep, then consider reducing your holdings. That doesn't mean get rid of them all, but it means reduce the weightings you have in the stock market. As with increasing a position, you should reduce your positions in stages over a period of time so that you won't be getting out exclusively at the wrong time, which also means you won't be getting out at the right time 100% of the time either. Again, it's a blend. There's some intelligence to it. You got to be thoughtful about it. Talk to your financial advisor. Listen to the Money Talk program. Hey, by the way, tune in tomorrow. Steve Bovee will be here at 5 o'clock. Close out the week here on Money Talk. In the meantime, have a good evening.